Teresa Rowe. To find out more about Shaped by Faith and Teresa Rowe, please visit shapedbyfaith.com or visit the YouTube channel, Facebook, or Instagram. And now, here is Teresa Rowe.
Welcome to Shaped by Faith, where we shape our bodies and hearts for God's purposes. I am excited to have Christine Tremp back with us today. She is an author, speaker, joy seeker, and weight loss warrior. You're not even going to believe this, but she's lost 100 pounds in her joy-filled journey of healing. God instilled a passion within Christine to boldly explain the good news of great joy. So Christine speaks and writes for women worldwide, sharing the freedom, and I love that, the freedom Christ offers when we choose to trust God and seek Him in His Word. The Christian Product Book Award and nonfiction winner, Seeking Joy Through the Gospel of Luke, is Christine's debut book. Sorry about that. It's her debut book, and she's going to talk about her other book that she's writing, and it's just a blessing. So, Christine, thanks for coming back on Shaped by Faith.
Thank you, Teresa. I'm so excited to be back with you.
Well, I love it's the month of February, and I love your story and what you're going to share with us. Obviously, the month of February is a great time to discuss the heart. So there's a lot of key verses in the Bible that addresses our heart. One of my favorite is Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? But today you're going to talk about your heart story. I know when you were on mid-December, you were talking about your book, but we really didn't, you know, dive deep into your story. So we both agreed you need to come back on. You've got a lot of information to share, a lot of, you know, inspiration for the listeners. So, okay, you experienced a total heart transformation physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Is that right?
Yes, for sure. 100%.
Okay, so tell us what led to your heart transformation and maybe a key verse that captured your attention during that time.
Well, I lived for about almost 50 years, Teresa, as a casual Christian. I grew up in a Christian family, but I really didn't have an intimate relationship, like a heart-to-heart relationship with Jesus, I guess you could say, since we're talking about a heart transformation today. But as I got into my later 40s, I started having a lot of chronic health issues pop up and pile up, like fatty liver disease and obstructive sleep apnea, prediabetes. And I just was feeling so sick and tired all the time. And praise God, He did capture my attention with my health. And it got to the point where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I did plead with the Lord to I just wanted to feel better. And I just wanted to feel better, not feeling sick and tired every day. I had no idea what the Lord was going to lead me through. But recently, in 2022, I read a verse that's kind of my key verse now. I didn't have that when I set out on a journey, but I read Psalm 4:7 with new eyes in early 2022. And I was like completely blown away. Like, yes, this is it. This is exactly what the Lord has for us. In Psalm 4:7, David writes about heart transformation. And he says in the NIV version that I love, he says, "You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound." And it was one of those verses where I just had to sit there and just, I was so overwhelmed by God's goodness and His grace that joy is like an umbrella over this journey that He's taken me on. So the word joy jumped off the page with me, and the Lord has filled my heart with this great joy, more than anything that I ever used to focus on in my health and wellness journey, when I used to try to take control of all the things myself. And I would be concerned about the food that I was allowed to eat, or when I wasn't taking care of my health, I was eating all the foods that were all wrong for me. So this verse has been really impactful, and I'm excited to share it with women, that the Lord is for us. He can fill our heart with a greater joy, which is internal, than when the grain and new wine abound, which is particularly for me, it was the health journey, but it could be any external circumstance. The grain and the new wine can be, you know, a metaphor for anything that's weighing us down.
Okay. So Christine, I want you to explain to our listeners, when you say joy, are you talking about bubbly excitement? Are you talking about happy? Are you talking about contentment? When you're saying you are filled with the joy of the Lord, what do you mean by that?
Well, I dug a little bit deeper into that Psalm 4:7 and discovered that, of course, through this journey with Jesus, I have been able to have a new appreciation and a new understanding what the joy of the Lord is. And Teresa, interestingly enough, as I do my research on joy, just recently I learned that joy is like the least studied human emotion, despite it being a primary emotion. And when I Googled statistics on joy, the top Google hits didn't even have the word joy in the headlines. It was all about happiness. So as believers, there's definitely a distinction between joy and happiness. So I don't focus on that. But when I went deeper into this verse in Psalm 4:7, I learned that the heart, of course, is our wellspring of life. It's where our spirit resides, our soul. And part of a heart transformation, or I should say, like what David was referencing in this heart transformation, I've kind of created a heart acronym for it. It's H for handle our emotions, and then E for examine our thoughts, A for ask for motivation, R for run with courage, and T for take action. And in hindsight, even in my coaching, I realized that this is kind of the process that I went through and that I've taken people through. And so that getting a handle on my emotions, my thoughts, doing it with motivation from being in God's word every day, doing it with courage, I see that God did take my hand and he took me through all those steps so that I was able to act and take back control of my life and my physical, emotional, and spiritual health.
Christine, women especially, and men as well, we focus on our weight maybe. We focus on food. Maybe we focus on the outer appearance not so much as we should be focusing in on our heart. So how is the Lord directing your steps when you first began your healthy journey of joy? What are some things that you did?
Well, when I first cried out to the Lord and said, I just want to feel better, I wasn't even focused on my weight, Teresa, and in hindsight, because I had tried for 30 years to lose weight and I had tried in my own efforts and it was not successful. I was on the dieting roller coaster for 30 years. And it just got to the point where I needed something new and something fresh, a new idea. And I do look back and I see how God directed my steps, like little by little. I learned that the first thing that he guided me through was because I had been diagnosed with fatty liver disease. I started researching hormones and sugar and how sugar impacts my liver health. And that's just kind of the first step that he took me on, was learning more in depth about how he created our metabolisms, how he created us uniquely as human physical bodies. It was completely new. I started seeing my physical health in a new way and also learning how much my emotional health and my spiritual health had impacted my physical health. I like to say and guide and teach people that they're all connected. And yes, it wasn't until I was almost 50 years old that I didn't have that big light bulb over my head. So I'm very grateful for that.
Well, and now you know, and it's never too late. And by the way, you don't look 50 or 50 something at all. So you look amazing, Christine. You look like the joy of the Lord is written all over you. Absolutely. So when we come back, I want to hear more about your journey. So everyone stay tuned for more Shape by Faith. Welcome back to Shape by Faith, Christine Tremp. She is a weight loss warrior, but more than that, she's a joy seeker, and she's a speaker, she's an author, she's working on her next book, and we will get to that. Christine, you were explaining some of the first steps that you took in your healthy journey of joy, so I would love for you to continue with that.
Sure. Really, the first thing that I had to wrap my brain around, Teresa, was how much one ingredient was impacting my health. And that one ingredient is sugar. And I didn't realize, like, I could go during my previous dieting attempts, I could go for months without eating cookies and birthday cakes and things like that. But I had to get to the point where I realized that some of the other things I was eating was breaking down into sugar in my body, like bread, potato, pasta. And so it wasn't until that point, once I realized all of that, the full impact of what the sugar was doing on my metabolism, that things began to change. So really just getting a handle on sugar and my cravings for sugar were not, they were a lot, you know, I was having a lot of physical cravings for sugar. A lot of it was psychological and a lot of it was me trying to comfort and fill my spiritual health that was also lacking too. So sugar is the big thing in my journey.
Well, let's talk about that. There's sugar in a lot of products that we eat. So I'm just here thinking, going, okay, so how are we going to do this, Christine? I know you're writing a book about it, and I don't want you to give away your book, but we need help now, okay? We need help now. So as far, sugar affects everything. It absolutely does. Hormones, especially, like you said, our liver, just everything, the way we feel. I mean, if people overeat and they're eating sweets on the holidays or whatever, about an hour later, they feel like they're going to hit the bottom. You know, they feel real sluggish. I mean, or some people start sweating. So everyone reacts a little differently. Yeah. How did you start to wean yourself off of sugar? Did you just like go, no more sugar, I'm not gonna do it? What did you do?
I actually took, and I encourage people to take small steps. I believe that small changes, small habit changes lead to big results, and it actually worked really well for me. So I finally got, after doing a lot of research on non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, one day I decided I was starting my day with sugar because I was drinking coffee with flavored creamer in it. So I decided to give up coffee cold turkey because I knew I couldn't drink coffee without that flavored creamer. And it seems pretty drastic, but that's what I had to do. That's what really worked for me and started me, you know, on having the mindset that I needed to make these small changes day by day. Couple of days later, I decided that I was no longer going to eat any of the sweet treats that were around my office. At that time, I worked in a corporation and, you know, there's bowls of candy everywhere. So I swore off candy and then I started reading ingredient labels. So I just built on my successes day by day, just to finally get to the point where a couple of, you know, probably about 4 or 6 weeks later, as I was gradually reducing the sugar in my diet, I finally realized that I was no longer craving sugar. So I wasn't having the physiological reaction to it. And that helped me get a better handle over the emotional aspect of it too, like the psychological enslavement I had to sugar as well. So it was a, like I said, small habits lead to big results. And that's how I like to recommend that everybody gives it a try too.
Absolutely. Now, did your body go through any type of withdrawal, like I'm missing it or, you know, I'm not feeling good here? Did your body go through anything like that?
I did have some headaches for the first couple of days, but I think that may have been also attributed to the fact that I gave up the coffee and the caffeine cold turkey. But because I did the gradual steps, there's something that you might hear referenced as like the keto flu or the low carb flu when you give up sugar like this. And I didn't have those types of symptoms drastically because I did it in the baby steps. But yeah, there is some type of withdrawal and changes in your physical health, if you do it cold turkey, everything, but you just push through it and push it through it with a lot of water too.
And a lot of prayer. That's right.
And a lot of prayer, right? A lot of prayer and a lot of water. Keep yourself hydrated.
Yes. Now you, you've mentioned, okay, the, you know, the sweet treats and like the creamers that are loaded with sugar. Let's talk about things that, you know, we buy in a grocery store. And I know, and we talked about this last time, you shop the perimeter of the grocery. Yeah. Let's say like we're in the, spaghetti aisle and, you know, we don't have time to make homemade spaghetti. Of course we could make time, right? So it's all in our priorities. What right. are some products that we don't think are so obvious that we should be staying away from that, you know, have sugar in them?
Right. Spaghetti sauce for one. A lot of, you have to pick up the jars and read the ingredient labels for sure. There are sugar-free spaghetti sauces out there, like marinara sauce. There's a brand called Rouse, and the one I like in my local grocery store is called Dalalo. They don't add sugar. There's natural sugars in the tomatoes, so there is going to be some carbohydrate count in the spaghetti sauce. But yeah, and things like ketchup. Ketchup is loaded with sugar. Pickles, sometimes you have to read the pickle jar and make sure that there's no added sugar. And then, you know, I don't eat a lot of peanut butter, but when I do eat peanut butter, I switch to completely natural peanut butter. The only thing that should be on the ingredient label in your jar of peanut butter is peanuts and salt. But if you pick up a jar of Jif, there's probably like 20 ingredients in a jar of Jif, and it includes sugar. So yeah, reading ingredient labels was so eye-opening to me. And that's, you know, that's about the third part of my steps that I did was starting to read ingredient labels, and it is shocking. There is sugar in everything, almost everything.
How much, let's say we're trying to wean ourselves, Christine, how much sugar intake should a healthy person, like if they are still eating a little sugar, is a little sugar good?
Yeah. This is like kind of individualized. When I coach, I talk to people because some people can have 150 grams of carbs a day, natural carbs from whole sources, like, you know, healthy vegetables, things like that. But, and they can have success with losing weight. But somebody like me, I was in such a metabolic mess with all those chronic health issues. It was really good for me to finally get to the point where I was just eating 20 grams of carbs a day, from sources like cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, things like that. But it is really, that's what I love about the low carb and sugar free lifestyle, is that it's individualized to a point, like, where are you getting the results that you need? And it's not just for weight loss. A lot of people want to choose a sugar free lifestyle too, because they need to get their blood sugar under control. They might be skinny fat and can definitely improve their body fat percentage, you know, and live healthier and stronger, which I'm sure you're passionate about as a,
absolutely,
as a fitness instructor. Right. Yeah. So, if you are wanting to try this, like to just kind of feel it out and jump in, I would suggest trying anything, seeing if you could stick around like 100 grams or less of carbs a day, and then just kind of keep going down as far as what you need to get the health results that you need.
Okay. Now, organic doesn't always mean the best, right? And I'm talking about in canned items, doesn't always mean that there's not sugar in there, correct?
Correct. Well, yeah, I don't buy a lot of canned items, so I can't say that. I've looked at those ingredient labels a lot lately.
Yikes.
Yes, but definitely. I do, when I can afford it in the budget, I do buy organic, real whole food as much as I can, because of the glyphosates that actually probably impacted my liver as well. So I try to keep it as clean as possible, but I also encourage everybody that you can eat healthier in your budget.
That's right. That's right. And we can all take some small steps, like you said. Let's take another break. Time is flying by. We'll be back with more Shape by Faith.
You wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Welcome back to Shape by Faith. Christine, you are amazing, and I want to thank you so much for letting us dive in deep with you about living sugar-free. And I love what you said. It is so true. Just take those simple steps. Like, what can you do today? You mentioned drink water, you know, maybe cut back on that creamer. Maybe if you can't go cold turkey, can you do half the creamer? Can you cut down your intake until you're eventually off that sugar? And Right. I so agree with you, and so do physicians. The sugar will destroy the body. I mean, it just feeds disease. So yes. It makes sense, you know. I wanted to ask you, okay, so a lot of people are living a fast-paced life, which we all need to slow down, you know, for sure.
Right.
But when people are out and they're eating out or they're at someone's home, because, I mean, like if you're at someone's home, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
How do you do that without like sounding like, okay, it's all about me. It's all about me and what I'm going to eat. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So give us.
I know exactly what you're saying. So my philosophy is to never draw attention to yourself when you're in that kind of situation. So you just manage it the best you can. Sometimes there are times I focus on the protein, first of all. So hopefully there is a good protein option. They're serving some type of meat, something that you can focus on. And then sometimes I just won't even eat a lot if the situation arises that there's nothing I can have. But I never make a point like I can't eat that. I can't eat that. I won't eat that. I won't eat that. So plan ahead if you know. Sometimes I like to ask like, well, is there anything I can bring? And then they'll be like, well, I'm making a lasagna. So then I'm like, oh, how about if I bring a salad and I load the salad with a bunch of protein that I would like to have on it? So there's ways to plan ahead. So yes. And then when it comes to eating out, I always look at the menu ahead of time so that there is some type of food that I would be, wanting to eat. And if not, if I'm going out with my girlfriends and there's nothing on that menu I want to eat, then I am prepared to, you know, just pick at something. But I always like to plan ahead.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, if you're in that situation and you're out to eat, you don't want to, you know, pull a baggie out of food. You know, Christine, honestly, I'll admit a few years ago, I did that. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like at a Mexican restaurant, it's like everyone's enjoying chips. Well, I'm going to eat some veggies. Okay.
Or that was some pork rinds, right?
Yes. Yes. That was ridiculous. Okay. So what does a low carb lifestyle look like for you? Give us some tips for breakfast and dinner.
Okay, so this is what a typical day looks for me. Well, even as a child, I was never hungry in the morning. So my natural hunger kicks in about 11:30 in the morning. And so I'll eat a lunch of typically it's dinner leftovers. So I don't spend a ton of time in the kitchen, which is why I don't have a cookbook coming out. dinner leftovers, but, eggs. I like hard-boiled eggs. I actually have adapted to enjoy like things like sardines out of a can because they're full of good protein. Tuna fish, sauerkraut, you know, any kind of meat. I'm a big meat eater now. And when I prepare meals for my family, they pretty much eat what I make. And then I might do like some side dishes for them. I might make some mashed potatoes or something for my husband and my son still. But yeah, it's basically from what I eat is from what I like to say, God's smorgasbord. Mm-hmm. It's like as close to the natural source, the way God created the food. I shop the perimeter of the store. And sometimes, Teresa, I can just go, you know, a couple weeks with just eating the same thing over and over again, like do the same thing and make something batch cook and eat, you know, a keto chili for, you know, three nights out of that week. So I like to keep things as simple as possible. And, you know, as close to the whole source of the food as possible.
That's so good. I do too. And I could eat the same food over and over and over. I'm fine with that. Okay. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say it's gotten to the point where I really truly can appreciate and praise God for this, that he has flipped the cravings of my life and I can recognize food as fuel now. And it's so freeing. It just has provided me a level of freedom that I never ever would have expected in my life.
That is so amazing. Before we close out, Christine, I also would love for you to pray for those listeners. We all need help in this area. So, but before you pray, You're currently writing your new book, Sugar Free, Stop Losing Your Weight Loss Battle, Start Gaining Your Victory. I love that title and subtitle. So you're welcome. Tell us a little bit about that book and then we're going to have you pray.
Well, that is the title in press, you know, it's the work in process. I don't know if it's going to be the final title, but I love the idea of being sugar freed. John 8:36 says, you know, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I didn't find this freedom until I invited Jesus into this journey. And I like the freedom that I love to talk about is the freedom from the captivity, the freedom in my eternity. And when it comes to the physical and emotional healing, the freedom in the vitality in living, that has been restored. And that's why I love the idea of being sugar freed, and not just sugar free, it's sugar freed.
So, yes, I like that.
The sun has set me free.
That's so good. Okay. Do you mind praying us out, Christine?
Oh, absolutely. It'd be my honor. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the heart transformation that you provide to us through your word. I pray right now for any listener today who is needing something in their life, in their journey, in their physical healing, their emotional healing, their spiritual healing. Lord, I just pray that you come alongside them and you direct them step by step. You guide them through this heart transformation with their emotions, their thoughts. Give them motivation, lead them with courage, and just prompt them through your spirit's nudging to take action. We praise you for this. We walk this out by faith. We thank you for Teresa's program, Shaped by Faith. And Lord, we just want to live that way, completely sold out to you by faith in everything we do and say for our bodies, our minds, and our spirits. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Christine, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening. I'm Teresa Rowe. Everyone have a blessed day. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Shaped by Faith with Teresa Rowe. Remember to visit shapedbyfaith.com to find out more about workouts, the TV show, podcasts, blogs, Shaped by Faith products, and much more.
From the Cabinet Doors and More Studio, this